Ladies, ladies, Tom is here to have some fun and have some beer.
Yay!
That's a great song.
I just made that.
Were you recording? Is that our beginning? Yay!
Hello, welcome to today's episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour.
Ladies' night.
I'm Maud Garrett.
I'm Allison Haitzlip. For the next 30-ish minutes, we are going to sip some booze and spit some news. Actually, for the next 30 minutes on the dot.
Yeah.
We have the studio 30 for 30 minutes.
And it took me three attempts to do the intro. Hello there, White Wine Mangdango.
Hello.
Tom Krajewski.
Hello,
you're
ladies.
You're here with us.
Here.
How are y'all?
I'm y'all's good. Yous?
I mean, I'm running it at 40%. That was a fail a
I
few
hear
times
you.
Just then.
No,
you know, it's like the hurdle started and I tripped over my own feet and then frantically looked up and then kept running and I fell again.
I just realized, because I feel like we're under like a time crunch with this episode, that I was talking really fast, but there's no point in me talking really fast. Like, 30 minutes is going to be 30 minutes no matter how fast I talk.
But we could get a little bit more in if we blah, blah, blah.
If we blurred a bit more out.
Yeah. I talk with my hands. How is everyone today?
Allison's rushed.
Oh,
she got me, picked me up late.
I almost
got mugged because I was on the corner all alone.
What? You would not get mugged in beautiful Toluca Lake, Tom.
You don't know. Look at the soft skin. Wouldn't you
mug this? You live down the street from like one of those markets that has like beautiful salads in the counter.
And they sell Dom Perignon in the...
Do we have to talk about the dog?
I'm puppy. Yeah. I'm going to be very distracted.
I'm watching my friend's dog. Her name is Foxy.
Because she looks like
a little fox.
Totally does. You know, like a Wes Anderson movie kind of fox.
It is.
Yeah.
So I brought her to the recording today. We have a little pod dog to go with our pod cat, Aristotle.
Oh, that's cool.
Hope they don't fight, huh?
Hey, I've got a question about that scenario and situation.
Great.
Let's say
you're
wanting to move house and you're moving into a house where someone had a dog and they were like, I'm a really easy roommate. It's just the dog is a non-negotiable for me. You've got to treat her like she's yours or he's yours. And you got to love the dog and maybe just, you know, treat the dog like a dog and help out from time to time. And then 7 months later, that's a real big problem.
Are you saying you're having problems, Maud, with a roommate?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
And the roommate refuses to treat your dog.
Well, Zelda is all of a sudden an inconvenience. Not all of a sudden, but from the get-go is an inconvenience.
Really?
And
why?
Feels like it is a chore to maybe take her out for a pee if I've been gone for more than 6 hours.
Right.
Your dog? Really?
Breaks my heart.
Oh, my gosh.
Because your dog is such a sweet little
dog.
And I sat down and I was like, listen, Zelda is a member of this household.
Yeah.
She is.
You moved into Zelda's home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah.
All I'm asking, and their response was, I'm a dog person. I get it.
And then you're not.
Not a dog person. And I was like, it led me to understand that there are two different types of people completely. Those that will put up with dogs and then a dog person. I am a dog person to the point where when my ex-boyfriend's dog was needing to be euthanized and put down because it had cancer so bad, I held his paw.
Really?
While my ex-boyfriend waited outside because he couldn't handle it.
I was
looking after that dog like he was mine.
Yeah.
Any dog here, I'm like, I want to love you unconditionally.
Right. Clearly, I am a dog person too because I'm an aunt to so many dogs.
Yeah.
All my friends' dogs, I'm
the
Foxy,
aunt. You take the dogs hiking, you don't even think about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Outside. You are looking after its quality of life.
Exactly.
This was just mind-blowing. And he goes, I think it's reasonable to not want an apartment to smell like dog.
Your dog department doesn't smell like dog.
Yeah, we've been there.
I've been there.
Thank you. And I'm like questioning things now. I think it's reasonable to not want to pick up dog poop. And I was like,
what? It's a dog.
Oh my gosh. I would be less perturbed by this if it wasn't the scenario this person was already moving into.
Mm.
Like, it was set up. It'd be one thing if, like, you got a dog while you had this roommate.
Yeah, and they're like, this isn't what I signed up for.
Yes, exactly.
In this situation, this is exactly what you signed up for.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. Oh, that's absurd. I'm sorry.
That's
also
okay.
Zelda's the sweetest, so I
don't
know.
She's a good dog.
She's
and
a good dog.
I've met a few dogs where it's like, okay, this is a non-trained dog. This is a yappy dog. Yeah. This is
a spoiled
dog.
Well, and you've also met Skywalker, who's a lunatic dog.
Lunatic.
So at least it's not, I mean, I love Skywalker with all my heart, but at least it's not, I know your roommate's not dealing with Skywalker.
You know what?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you know, Zelda's peed on that rug once. You should throw that rug out. And I'm like, that's a $500 rug that I've had for 6 months. Like, don't.
Yeah, no.
If I come home and you've chucked that, I will be so angry.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's how my week's gone.
Well, I wish I could give some advice. My daughter. Don't know what to tell you.
I have some good news.
Ooh. Go.
Do you remember last week's episode when I informed you guys about this crowdfunding campaign for Heart Baby Eggplant? We've already gotten the green light. We got green lit in our first week. Of being up. So Seed That's and Spark, amazing. The site that we are using, your project gets quote unquote green light when you hit 80% of your goal. And we hit 80% in our first week.
Holy
which is amazing because they say what the sign of a good campaign is hitting 30% in your first week and we hit 80. We're like, bring it, which is great because the goal we have set is actually less than what we need to shoot the series the way we want to shoot it. So we have stretch goals and everything. So it sounds like we're on a good track to make what we need to make. A few of our listeners out there, you guys are awesome. People have gotten the perk where to come and listen to a recording. We have a few people. Hercules, who I know has been a listener since like day one. He was the first one to get it. I was
That's
Herc,
awesome.
Thank you for that. And our fan Art Thomas he picked up a couple of our perks, and he's actually one of his pledges is the thing that sent us over into becoming greenlit. So thank you, Art. That was amazing.
So
it's still going on. Okay. If you can pledge, anything you can pledge is awesome. I realized I gave out the wrong URL last time because I didn't know what the URL actually was. So I'm going to give you the proper one this time as soon as my phone brings it up. Okay, seedandspark.com. It's not even... What happened?
Can you come into my lap and
you're like, I'm with the dog. Here we go. seedandspark.com/fund. Wait, why can't... Oh, my gosh. I hate everything right now. I can't even see...
But I love the dog.
Yeah.
Whatever. Just Google Heart Baby Eggplant when you go to Seed and Spark. Honestly, we're on their homepage or their front page of funded projects because we're doing so well.
That's
so
awesome.
That's really exciting.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
Are there parts for Maud and Me? Can Maud and I play
there
like a very...
You are. 100%. You guys can both be in it if you would like to be in it.
I don't have a child actor background, though.
I barely do either.
Okay,
trust
Maud.
Me, if you saw my work.
It's clearly no surprise that one of the women in our show is pregnant. So in our season, we have a baby shower. So you can come to the baby shower. That would be great.
Thank you.
And Tom, we have a lot of dudes that we have to have. Oh, my God. I know exactly the character you can play.
Yeah, I'm excited now.
Oh, yes.
Right, yeah, let's talk about
perfect.
It.
Yeah. Okay, great. I want both you guys to be in the show. Yes. And now that we're greenlit, we have to start, not have to, we're going to start fulfilling the incentives. So those of you who got the pod, come listen to a podcast recording, we'll be in touch with you
within
the next, you know, few weeks about setting that date up.
Hell yeah.
You'll come here and listen to us.
Yeah.
80% in the first week. And that's so lovely, like not having to... That's like the first hurdles, like, is just soaring through.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Thank goodness. I can't promise that I will have a cute dog with me when people come to listen, but I will try.
I have one. I can bring her.
Oh, good. We'll bring Zelda.
Then everything can stink like dog, and then you can be responsible. I don't know. That was just so weird because it's. I got a taste of parenthood where, like, someone didn't like my kid, and I was like, got a little defensive.
Yeah. No, I would, too.
But, again, the biggest learning lesson there was there's degrees of dog person. And I find that so fascinating. Because I only thought, especially with this internet culture right now, where it's all the puppers and dog crazies and send doggos right now, I was like, everyone worships these animals.
Yeah, fluffs. Fluffs.
Fluffies.
Did you guys see that Grumpy Cat passed away?
Yeah. Just yesterday? Today?
Today, yeah. I don't know.
What
by the time
did he
we're recording this,
die of? They did. Did they say?
Years.
She was 7 years old, right?
7 years old. She had something went wrong with a UTI.
Oh
no!
And apparently,
cats can get UTIs.
Apparently, it's very common for cats to get UTIs.
Pod cats going, yeah. Like you're a real cat, and you know what's up with your peeps.
That's too bad.
We are quite prone.
When you said peeps, I thought you meant like your pee hole.
Yeah, that's right.
You mean like your people.
Peeps.
Your cats.
People.
But yeah, poor grumpy
people.
Cat.
Poor grumpy cat.
I know.
I was thinking about that, though. It's like, imagine finding success or like the animal is famous and it's like all of the... Like, because what happens now with Grumpy Cat? That
merchandising. Was like come on. You still have the face.
No,
I can sell it.
The first thing in my head when I read that this cat had passed away was... I can only imagine the funeral that we would have given this cat had Attack of the Show still been around.
Oh,
like if G4 was still here and we were still doing Attack of the Show, we for sure would have like dedicated an entire episode to the funeral for Grumpy Cat. Like there's no way that wouldn't
By
have happened.
By playing like a cat playing piano video. Like,
yeah, exactly.
All that kind of stuff.
You agree, Foxy, right?
One of my favorite ones is still the talking cat. Guys, that's one of the funniest YouTube videos.
The talking cat?
The one that says, oh, long John.
Oh,
God.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh, God.
I have a good email that we can segue into.
Sure. Oh, yeah. That's segue.
Do you say it's... Is it still a segue if you say you're segueing into it?
Sure. Yeah.
This is a very obvious... Yeah.
Yeah. This is from Billy. It is entitled Bad Wisdom Teeth Story.
Oh, no.
He says, hello, 4-H crew.
Hi.
Billy.
He says, sorry, I'm taking a photo of the dog.
I know. He says, hi, Maud.
Hi, Billy.
I know. Yeah, take a picture of Foxy. She's
Foxy, look at me.
He says, I'm Billy and I'm a huge fan of the show. I was brought in by Allison as I knew her primarily from Tabletop, Titans, Grave, and Con Man.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, yeah.
That is your IMDb right there.
I know, right? I heard Maud's story about her bad wisdom teeth experience and thought I'd tell you about my own horrible experience. Yeah. And it's interesting because, yes, it ties into the wisdom tooth, but you'll understand why I bring this up now, considering what we've been talking about. About 1 month before my extraction, my family dog of 15 years died.
No.
Yeah.
15 years is so long.
I know. As a huge dog person and my first dog ever, it hit me pretty hard. Fast forward to the day of my surgery, and I'm in the chair, and they put me under. While I'm under, I start to dream, and in my dream, my dog was alive again, jumping and playing around with me. I was so happy playing with him, up until I threw a ball for him, and he disappeared. I started running, trying to find him, and the next thing I knew, I was waking up in the oral surgeon's office.
No more happy guests for happy times.
No. I was overcome by emotion that I got to see my dog once again, and I started bawling my eyes out. Now, my dad and the nurse are there with me and trying to figure out why I'm crying. My dad and I are good at a lot of games, but charades is not one of them, apparently, as I tried to pantomime why I was so upset, and neither of them figured it out. They thought I was in pain. Eventually, I calmed down and got to my dad's car, and we drove home. One thing I need to mention was that prior to the surgery, the instructions I was given said to A, not eat food, which makes sense, and to B, take a dose of those hardcore pain meds they give you to try to get ahead of the pain. So that's what I did. Well, you're also not supposed to take those pain meds on an empty stomach, it turns out.
Yeah,
as soon as I got home, I threw up three times, which is so much fun when you have gauze and open wounds in your mouth. It was probably one of the worst experiences of my life. Anyway, love the show and keep up the awesome work. You make my commute enjoyable each Monday, Billy. Happy Monday, Billy.
Boy, sorry, Billy, but that makes for a good story for us. So thanks.
I know.
It makes it a good entertainment.
It's. I mean,
your horror.
So when I had my wisdom teeth out, I wasn't put under. They just did it locally because we talked about that. But they gave me those pain meds. And I took – they gave me pain meds, anti-inflammatories, and antibiotics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had to take all three. And again, you can't eat a lot.
Yeah.
And so I got home and I took all these medications and I immediately got so, so sick. And I called the office and I was like, what do I have to take? What do I absolutely have to take? They were like, the only thing you have to take are the antibiotics so you don't get infections.
Yeah.
And I was like, great. I don't care if I'm sore and I don't care if I'm swollen because I'm not putting my body, like taking that much medication, I can't do it.
No.
So all I did was take antibiotics and I was a chipmunk and so, so sore, but I wasn't puking because you don't want to puke through the stitches and stuff that's in your mouth.
I've had a dream before where what happened in the dream seemed so real that when I woke up, it took me 15 minutes to realize it wasn't true.
Yeah, I hate those. Ooh, go.
I actually saw a friend of the podcast, Alex Albrecht, this past week. We had dinner, and I went to bed that night, and I had a dream. I vaguely remember it. I had gotten a group of friends. We all got an Airbnb together, and Alex was there, and Alex got upset with me for not getting him a room with an office attached to it because he had so much work to do.
He's a fancy guy now.
And I was like, we're on vacation, whatever. We got in this huge fight in my dream, and I woke up, and I was so angry at Alex, and I was lying in bed, and I was like viscerally angry, and then I was like, oh my God, that was a dream. You're not – I literally had to text Alex to be like, I'm sorry, I was mad at you.
He's like, what? That my ex-boyfriend had a dream about me recently that I slept with his really average friend. And he's like,
makes him better than me?
He was so upset. And he's like, in the dream, he's really? Him?
Yeah, exactly.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
And he was texting me like afterwards, and I go, can't you just be happy for me that I'm getting some in your dreams? Like, really?
Shows you still got little feelings for the old mod. Well, the old mod squad.
Ooh,
yeah.
Nice.
Oh, good.
I want to haunt him in his dreams. That's fine. But I've had it before where I, you know, my mom had died in my dream.
Oh.
I don't know if I've told this story before, but in my dream, she visited me as a ghost.
That's creepy.
And it was as if she was dead, but she was like, Maud, I don't have long, but I just want to let you know that everything's going to be okay. And I'm like,
yeah.
Tell your brothers that I'm looking over them as well.
Oh, God.
Like, pass on the message. I don't know how often I'll be able to see you, but know that I'll always be here. I woke up because I was
sobbing.
Hysterically sobbing. I was drowning in a pool of my tears.
Did you call your mom immediately?
No, because she was dead.
What?
So I called my brothers.
Oh.
And I was like, Mom visited me as a ghost. And he's like, the fuck, Mom's right next to me.
And I was like, oh. And you're like, oh, Mom's not dead.
Quickly, I put her on the phone. And I was like, Mom, I thought you were dead. She's like, oh, my God, don't be an idiot. And I was like,
thanks, Mom. But showing you how much I care for you.
You're so weird.
I feel like that's exactly what my mom would say. Ellie, don't be an idiot.
Stupid.
Yeah, this is not what
it was so real.
I was like, sweetie. Yeah, your ghost was the nicest version of you I've ever met. But that one was really bad. Like, I was convinced my mom was dead.
Oh, yeah, that would fuck me up. Yeah. That would fuck me up royally.
Oh, God.
I have moments like when I have auditions that, you know, need you to go to like dark, sad places and things like that. And, you know, you have all these different techniques and things. And sometimes it's actually putting yourself in the scenario, or sometimes it's imagining something that's close to the scenario to get you someplace. And every once in a blue moon, it'll like my brain will be like, well, yeah, I mean, if like my mom died like that, and I can't do it. I will not let myself go there. I'm like, it's too fucking painful.
Yeah.
It gets too dark and too fucked up. And I'm like, I don't need to do that for this. Find something else. Yeah, find something else. You know?
I don't like it how some acting teachers like use masochism in that way to kind of get that.
Yeah.
I go, no acting role is worth putting me through like trauma so that you get a good version of this. You know? I had a.
If anything, acting should be therapeutic.
Yeah.
It should be a way
expressing. Yeah. You're becoming someone else instead of having to internalize all of this bad stuff. I had this role where I was supposed to be a woman who was kidnapped and tortured for a very long time. They killed her boyfriend in front of her, but I escaped and I'm on the run. And he's like, okay, I need you to go there. And I was like, no thanks. The thing is, I initially got the job because I was supposed to do voiceover of her in the phone box making the phone call. So I was just doing VO and I was like, done.
Right.
And then he's like, well, actually, we want to film like from the security camera point of view. So it will be you making the phone call, but it'll be from far away. And I was like, done. And they're like, actually, we're casting you as the main for this and it's going to follow you. And I was like, no.
This is not what I signed up for.
No, thank you. Yeah, and I just walked away from the role because I was like, this is kind of gross.
Yeah.
But the way this director was saying, he goes, what's the worst thing that's ever happened to you? Tell me. And I go, no.
Yeah.
Like, you can have that ride over me just so you can get a good, a good performance.
Right.
And I was just like, I,
and that's not.
I'm not an actor. I don't want to do that.
Well, and also that isn't necessarily what acting is. Acting isn't just being like.
It's acting.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, you should be.
And he's like, it's not dark enough. It's not awful enough. And I was kind of like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
You're not that troubled where you can go.
Yeah. Like, you should be able to make things real, but you don't necessarily need to make them personal, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, and that's...
It entirely depends, too, on
that's
the role.
I feel like I'm the only host in all of LA or all of America that actually doesn't want to act. Like, I'm just a host.
I gotcha.
I'm real good at doing the Maud, not being other people.
What's that famous quote?
Doing
I think it's from...
the Maud.
Is it the Marathon Man movie with Dustin Hoffman where he plays a jogger? And so he's jogging to get, like, in character or something like that. And so he's doing it before the scene.
Yeah.
And he's in the movie with some other big famous actor. And the big famous actor's watching him do it. And Dustin Hoffman's like, yeah, I'm trying to get in a character. And the guy says, could you just try acting? Have you tried?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Like Jared Leto doing his method stuff. And, sending his...
If it works for some people, but then you see people who do it so effectively without...
I have a buddy who gets so upset with Andrew Garfield because Andrew Garfield is all about like method acting.
Is he really?
Yeah, and my buddy's like...
Spider-Man?
Yeah, that's what he said. He's like, you were fucking Spider-Man. How did you fucking method act Spider-Man?
You wore tights for a month. Yeah, exactly.
Or like,
before.
You stuck yourself to the side of buildings or something. Like what, you know?
Kissed
like,
Mary
hilarious.
Jane upside down, yeah.
Oh, I like.
We should take
Let's
a quick
take a break.
And we'll come right back with another email.
Yeah.
Bye.
You ready, Maud?
Maud's talking, baby.
Can we start up again, Maud? Are you going to keep talking to the dog?
Yes, that's my dog voice. That's my dog voice. But does everyone's got an animal and a dog voice?
Totally.
That's mine. It's sweet.
My friend Kelly goes, A-B-G-B, to like every dog. And then she started doing it to people. And I'm like, Kel?
What?
Kel, stop.
That's a baby voice. That's the baby one.
But for hers, it's dogs. A-B-G-B. Okay, I have an email here entitled Charred Spider.
Charred Spider.
This is from Peter. He says, hey, HHHH, Ladies Night Crew.
Hi, Peter.
This is Peter from Plymouth. Plymouth, MN? No.
Plymouth, Minnesota?
Minnesota, is that what MN
probably.
Is it? Or is that Montana?
Is it spelled Plymouth and you say Plymouth?
Plymouth.
Yeah.
Plymouth. Aristotle, is MN Montana or Minnesota?
I think MO is Montana.
I think you're right. I think MN is Minnesota. Boom, yeah. Minnesota. Great. Right,
there we go.
Hi, Maud.
Hi, Peter.
He says that. And hi, Allison, because I've been a fan since the G4 days. Oh, yeah. Hi, Mr. Mandango. There you go.
Hi, Peter. What do you say? Peter, you're so cute. Look at you. I'm not an actor.
You're just spitting on this kid.
Oh, my God. Andy.
I try.
My boyfriend, Andy, he makes fun of me. He has this cat named Bonya, who I love. He's the sweetest cat.
Bonya?
Bonya. Bonya. It's short for St. Boniface. But he'll call the cat. I can't do it, but he goes, he'll be like, something like that. But when I do it, I'm like, the cat always runs when he does it. When I do it, the cat hides. I'm like, oh, Bonya, why? Okay, anyway, back to Peter's email. Just a quick note and pick from something that happened earlier this evening, which was all the way back in April. I was boiling some water on my glass stovetop, and I started smelling something funny when I was putting some dishes away. I didn't know what it was until I saw this on the outskirts of the burner I had on. Unbeknownst to me, a spider had wandered you can see what happened.
Kamikaze.
Seeing as it was a spider, I did not feel bad for it. Thanks. And then he sends this picture.
Oh, goodness.
Of just this completely toasted spider.
That's a big spider.
It's a big spider, and it is just like fried.
It looks like a small octopus.
It does.
It does. Yeah, it totally does.
Whoa.
Did he eat it?
Look,
it's cooked. It's full of protein.
That's not on you at all, buddy. That spider, walked
death
into
wish.
The flames.
Yeah. It was looking to go.
You went
it
to
was,
Burning Man, never came home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I got one more for us. Yeah. This is called Ghostbusters Rating and a Nickname for Maud.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hello, 4-H crew. Dramatic pause. Hi, Maud. This is from John.
John!
John here.
Hi, John.
Longtime listener, first-time emailer. I have been a fan of the podcast for about 2 years now. Woo-hoo. A fan of Allison since the G4 days. Woo-hoo. Attack of the Show is always better when you were hosting. Oh, thanks. It's weird.
John.
I didn't know that was coming up, guys.
Yeah.
Look at me blushing.
I'm shy.
In a previous episode, everyone was discussing the rating for the original Ghostbusters, and it was said to be PG-13 when it was actually PG.
PG.
According to my Blu-ray, that's crazy.
Oh, as
the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And its IMDb page. Oh, it was released before the PG-13 rating
for
had been
Temple
created.
Of Doom.
Yes. I'll attach the article, but in short, with the release of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and Gremlins in the same year, 1984, some groups felt those films were too scary for kids, and Spielberg agreed and suggested that a new rating be made in between PG and R. Uh-huh.
We have MA in Australia for mature audiences.
We have that for 15. TV shows.
15 and older. Yeah.
We have that for TV, but not for movies. Yeah.
So your version is 13 and above, where we have 15 and above.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't allowed to even watch an M, which is just suggested mature, which is probably your PG-13.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I wasn't allowed to watch those until I was 15, and that included Clueless.
What?
Clueless.
So I secretly watched it when I was 9 years old, and it was the best.
Yeah, it's
ever.
Not even scary. It's a little adult, but not.
When they passed around a joint, that is it.
What's the movie with the witches, the four girls who are witches?
The Craft.
Love it. My parents told me I couldn't go see that, and then I was out with some friends, and they wanted to go see it, so we all went to go see it, and my parents found out, and I got in trouble for
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you scared, though?
It's not a scary movie, is it?
I honestly don't really remember.
It's
in the end,
slightly
there's some
disturbing.
Snakes,
like, I found Jawbreaker to be disturbing.
Right,
and that was supposed to be.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't feel good watching this.
I'm uncomfortable.
And everyone's like, Maud, you're a little sensitive. And I was like, I'm not disagreeing with that.
That's a true statement. All right, here's the second half of John's email. Finally, Maud, I like you, I have no nickname.
And John. John. J-Dog. Jonabon.
Well, listen, John, you just got three nicknames right there. And since Tom has two and Allison has Allison, yeah. I gave it some thought and I came up with one for you.
Mm.
Should there ever be a post-apocalyptic Mad Max sort of world? Ready for it?
Yeah.
That's Maud the Marauder?
Yeah.
I love it.
Also, if you ever moderate a panel at a convention, you could be the moderator.
I am the moderator.
You are?
On my Fungeons and Flagons show.
Oh, that's amazing.
So instead of being the DM, which is the dungeon master, but you like orchestrate the events of the show, I was the moderator. I've done a moderator photo shoot where I dressed up as my Dungeons and Dragons character.
That's cool.
These pics are legit, guys.
Wait, I've seen these. You've posted them.
Yes.
Yeah, they're great.
Thank you.
I like Marauder too. Yeah. I'd call you Maud Maraud. Yo.
Maud Maraud.
Maud Maraud.
Yeah. John says, anyway, thanks for all the laughs and puns. John, I'm also going to pull up this article about the PG 13 rating. But yeah, where are your photos? Where can people see your photos, Maud?
They are scattered throughout my... I thought I'd favorited them.
Your Instagram?
My Instagram.
You look for those.
There they are.
Yeah, Instagram?
There I am.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's, keep scrolling. There's a bunch there. I did a photo shoot with a photographer called Topher, and he does like fantastic things.
This is pretty cool.
Which one's that one?
The Doctor Strangey one with like the cool
magic
stuff.
In my book. It was so great.
I have a picture of Maud in doll form. Well,
in
kind
doll
of.
Form.
One of our fans wrote to us.
Oh, yeah, those are so cool.
That one's my favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing. Okay, well, wait, what are you doing?
Maud, someone sent this picture from Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah, Maud. I saw that. It totally so does look like you.
Yeah, I'm
Rapunzel.
Now, yeah, I'm now yeah,
it does look
tangled.
Like you. Yeah, I can see you wearing that kind of hoodie.
Okay, I'm going to read this quick thing about the movie rating. So before 1984, the line between movies for kids and movies for grown-ups was an all-or-nothing proposition. Everyone under the age of 16 was lumped together, kept from R-rated showings unless accompanied by a parent or a guardian. And then came Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. The bloody blockbuster released that May in 1984 was rated PG, much to the consternation of many parents. When Gremlins followed in June, it became clear that a movie night be neither adults... only nor kid friendly, and the rating system needed a solution. So that's when, it was on July 1st in 1984 that Valentini announced that PG-13 was a go. The first PG-13 movie, guess what it was?
1984.
Beverly Hills Cop.
No. Red Dawn.
Red Dawn was PG. Okay.
Yeah. I always thought it was Indiana Jones, but Indiana Jones was the movie that created
the
catalyst. Yeah, so Red Dawn was actually the first officially PG-13.
What's Red Dawn? It's the greatest 80s movie ever made.
It's about the Cold War.
Yeah, it's about like the Russians.
The
Russians
taking
over a Montana town.
Yeah,
Podcat and I are both just shaking our heads, being like, "What?"
It was remade like 10 years ago with Chris Hemsworth before he became Thor.
Yeah, that was very good. It's a classic '80s movie with everybody's like Patrick Swayze younger, and then
when I think classic '80s movie, I think Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I think The Princess Bride.
Okay. Those are great classic '80s movies.
In that case, Red Dawn's a classic American '80s movie because it's specifically about America.
That's why
Montana.
I was gonna say those are both American movies.
But I think
Ferris Bueller's Day Off takes place in Chicago.
But this is a political movie being invaded.
Yeah. Chicago.
That's what I mean. Like,
it's
American pride is
Abe
what I'm saying.
Abe Foreman.
Yeah. But like a table for three.
Oh, so good. The Abe Foreman. Do you got a story for us over
okay,
there?
Okay, yeah. So since we just passed. Okay. So we just had May the 4th, right?
Star Wars Day.
Which is Star Wars Day.
Yeah, a little while ago.
I can't believe Chewbacca died
three days before.
I know.
What was the first movie he was replaced in by the new guy? Do you know? I forget. Because the new Chewie has done it for like the past two movies. Maybe Podcat knows.
I think from The Force Awakens.
Awakens?
I think from, yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of Star Wars.
Because he hasn't been well, yeah.
On May 4th, yes. Star Wars Day, Star Wars searches on Pornhub go up quite a bit. So
you can like.
Why are these the articles you find? This show has taken a turn since Tom brings in the articles.
No, because this is Star Wars related.
Okay,
and
fine.
Okay, I can go a different story.
No.
I'm just gonna ask you what you think the top ones are.
Ready?
Yes.
Okay. I am your daddy.
I bet it's Leia and Luke porn, like brother sister porn or something like that.
It's choking.
Choking? Oh,
like
choking.
Force choking? Yeah.
That would have been smart. No, the top is Princess Leia by like a huge margin.
Yeah, duh.
Then Rey. Then Star Wars parody. Then Star Wars XXX. Then Ahsoka Tano. Star Wars Hentai. Princess Leia Slave is actually way down there. And then Twi'lek. I don't know Twi'lek. Do you guys know these characters?
Yes, the Twi'lek is the blue and the green creatures that have like the tendrils that come down.
Yeah, they, of course.
They beat out Padme Amidala on the porn searches.
Wow. People get kink.
To be fair, Ula was the one that would perform.
Yeah, you're right. There she is.
Ula would perform for Jabba the Hutt, and she was killed, and she was fed to the Rancor.
So who's Ayla Sakura?
Ayla Sakura?
Ayla Sakura's on there. And then Kylo's below that, whoever that is.
Kylo?
Kylo Ren?
Kylo Ren.
Oh, you mean Adam
Kylo
Driver.
Kylo Rim.
What's this? All right. Moving on. I know we only have like minutes, but let's cleanse our palate from that, guys, since you didn't like it. But we like Palm Springs. We were just in Palm Springs.
Yeah. We do like Palm Springs.
Do you guys like Taco Bell?
Sure.
There's sort of.
Wait. They're doing the meat-free? They're doing meat-free tacos now.
I like it when they put me in their commercials.
Yeah, that's right. You
nice
did that awesome commercial.
Nice slow-mo-y quesadillas.
Get that green, girl.
What?
Listen to this. Bell, Taco Bell Hotel and Resort, is slated to land in Palm Springs.
Hotel and Resort?
See, there you go. Taco Bell announced on Thursday the hotel will give fans an unexpected and unforgettable trip of a lifetime and promises an immersive way to celebrate the best of the brand.
Where is this article on?
Website.
What's the website?
It's patch.com. It's a local Palm Springs.
Did you put this through Snopes?
I didn't care to. Anyways.
Is this a true story?
Yes, it is.
Podcast, can you do some quick research on this?
I'm right. Listen.
I just want this to be right, even if it's
it
not.
It is right. I'm telling you. But yeah, definitely have him double check it because I'm kind of an idiot and I'm also lazy and I don't do research.
So
they're going to have hot sauce packet floaties, taco twisted cocktails.
This is not true. This could not be.
An Optimus gift shop.
Taco Bell is opening a hotel and resort.
On
CNBC. Okay, this wasn't April 1st
for a limited time. They're doing this.
May 16th.
Wow. An Optimus gift shop will offer exclusive apparel, and guests can also stop by the on-site salon for Taco Bell inspired nail art, fades, and a braid bar.
Gross.
Wow. And whether it's daily happier hour or saucy snacks, the Bell, a Taco Bell hotel and resort, will deliver beloved iconic flavors and introduce new menu surprises only available at the hotel. I want to go there. That's why I'm with this. Maybe we can get a...
You know, like the wake-up call? Is it just the Taco Bell?
Or they have a little chihuahua run into your room and wake you up. You know, the Taco Bell.
Oh, yo quiero Taco Bell. It makes more sense knowing it's more of a pop-up thing.
It's not did you say
it said, yeah, for a limited time.
Son of a bitch. I want to go. Let's go.
Son of a bitch.
There's so many things that I would rather do.
I love Taco Bell, though.
Then do that.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I guess if I'm making a trip to Palm Springs. But if I lived in Palm Springs, I'd be like, all right, this is fine. Whatever.
I'm saying we're going there for my next birthday.
I mean, I like to listen to audiobooks when I'm in the bath. I would rather do that than go to Taco Bell.
Wow.
They better have a good sewage system. In that hotel. Because we all know what the bell does to our bowel.
And that's all I got today for interesting news.
All right, sweet. Well, good.
Because we got to wrap up anyways.
Yeah, we got to wrap up. We are getting kicked out of this studio. Well, once again, guys, if you can pledge to my Season Spark crowdfunding campaign, that would be awesome. Heart Baby Eggplant. Just go to my social stuff. It's on all my social things, since I clearly don't know what the freaking URL is. I think it's seedandspark.com/fund/heart/ Wait, heart-baby-eggplant.
How did you get 80%?
I have no idea. Magic, apparently, because I'm utterly incapable of marketing it properly myself.
That shows you've got dedicated fans.
I know.
That's fantastic.
If you want to email us at halfhourhappyhourfans@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, halfhourhappyhr. Please subscribe to us on whatever you listen to us on. I don't know why I became Irish right there, but
I am now
a leprechaun. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, tune in. What else are we on? You know what we're on. And that is it for this week's episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour Ladies Night. I'm Allison Hayslip.
I'm Maud Garrett.
And thank you for sitting with us, Tom White Wine Mandango.
Thank you.
Krajewski.
Bye.
Star Bands Avenue. A podcast network.